All right, tonight, if you will. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 2. And I just saw this the other day on the internet, and they was just trying to, what they were speaking about, about the all the different types of diet programs I hear. They was talking about all the type of pills, different weight pills, weight loss pills that they're coming out with. And he went on and explained a whole lot more, but he come down to the main gist of what he was trying to, what he was getting into, and it was about 35, 40 minutes. It was on the YouTube or whatever you want to call it there. But there was, he took the scripture. And people today are more likely to look at mankind and what they need today for their own health, their own body, and everything. But this man, and I can't think of his name, he was a doctor. And he was a well-known doctor from out there in California. And he'd been to Johns Hopkins and all around different places. But he'd been studying the body for over 35 years in this one category. In the reason the people are gaining so much weight today. And it's not because of the food that we eat. And it's not all of this. It's because, and he says, it's because of the diet food that they have out here. He says, there's none of it is fitting for us to even eat. Because what they are prone to do, they're prone to put on the weight. They're prone for you to put on weight because it makes you want to crave more and more. But here in Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to see some things here, and I'm going to try to bring out some thoughts in it as the Lord leads. And I may go off on in left field, I don't know yet, but this is what the Lord wanted me to see tonight. And I'm obeying Him tonight because I don't have no notes or nothing like that, because I could not even remember half of the stuff that He said. But there's three words here in the Word of God that He used, and He used each one of these words, and He broke them down, and He explained each one of them to what they really mean, and what they mean as far as to the body. And He's speaking about the body of Christ is what He's speaking about. But not only that, that it was there when Christ was born, and not only that, it was there after He was born that He went and He partook of that. And it also, we today, we can go back and we can remember times when we've read about it, and we really just didn't even think about it. But here in verses 9 through 12. And it says, when they had heard the king, they departed, And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And I'm going back to one thing he said. He said, when you get into these three words that I'm going to mention here in a few minutes, and if you'll break them down and if you'll look them up in the encyclopedia, you can even go up and you can look on the internet and you can go on there and get in that, I'm pronouncing it wrong, I know. But where you can get in there and you can search out each one of these words biblically speaking. And when you find out the truth about it, it says right here, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented unto him gifts. The gift of gold, the gift of frankincense, and the gift of myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. The three words that I'm going to mention tonight is, first of all, is gold. We think as gold is that bar of gold that they've went out and they've dug it out from the mountains or into the valleys of where it's at. And they would take it and they would sift it through the thing and everything and get all the dirt out, and they would come up with little nuggets of gold. And then they would take it and they would heat that gold. And then they would form it into a large bar. Now, it's interesting to know that every time you turn on the TV, that you have somebody on it is advertising gold. And they say that if you have gold, you don't have to worry about nothing else. You don't have to worry about the economy. You don't have to worry about losing money. As long as you have it, go. But he said, this doctor said this. He said, if you break down the gold and the particles that's in it, that is one application that is to the body, to keep the body healthy, to keep the body strong, that can fight off the disease and fight off everything else that our bodies fight against. Now, I don't know why really the Lord wanted me to speak on this, because I don't know anything about none of it. I'm just going by what the Lord's given me. But frankincense is the same thing as you take and apply it to something. And what that doctor said in the frankincense, that where he went and he saw it out, and it's not in the United States. It's in one of the countries over there in the foreign land. It's not in Israel.
But it's another country over there. And he said he went over and he spent a year in this particular country trying to find this one ingredient that they call frankincense. They still call it frankincense today over there. But yet today, what we call it is perfume. Because it has a distinct smell to it. It has a distinct aroma to it. And that part of the gift mingled with the gold touches us in a way that where we can have the joy, because we have something there that we can smell and we can touch, we can see it. And all of this goes together with the word myrrh. Now, I didn't have time to really get into all of the meanings of each one of these this evening. But in the Word of God, it's significant. Anything that we see in the Word of God is significant for us. And a whole lot of time is significant for our body. Because what does God call us? What does God call the saints of God when they gather together in a church? What does He call us? He calls us what? The body of Christ. Right? In the body of Christ, that we know is the ones that are here. And I know we have others that's outside, and I don't know why, but they just won't come to church. But hey, look at what they're missing. Look at all the blessings of God that they're missing. They are missing in coming and assembling together and being called the body of Christ. Now, when they come in, yes, they say, but they've been away for a while. They backslid on God. But we that are here, we know that they're hurting. They're hurting within their hearts because they know and what they've done was wrong. They may not have a toeache. They may not have a headache. But the heartache that they have is the heartache of not assembling together with God's people. Not assembling together. We know that Jesus there, when he was there, that young boy, after he was born, and then some of them say that he was at the age of 12 when he left his mother, when they was there in the where they was traveling, and he was following his mother, and he was following Joseph. They said he was at the age of 12. And that's where they get the number for accountability. They say the number 12 is the accountability of an individual when they know the difference between right and wrong. I got news to tell them, they're wrong. Because you know yourself, you can tell when a child gets to that point in their life that they know the difference between right and wrong. They don't have to be 3 or 4 days old. They know the difference between right and wrong. You say, preacher, they ain't even got the mind to even think. How do you say that? Well, I can remember Christy. When she was born and when we brought her home and everything, and she would lay up there in the playpen. And it wouldn't be but a few seconds later that she started weeping, whimpering, started crying. Why? Because she wanted something else. She wanted her mama to pick her up. But see, what her mother thought was because she was crying, she was getting hungry. That wanted it. And then Shelby should go and pick her up, or I'd go and pick her up and everything. And then she would just calm on down. Wouldn't whimper, wouldn't cry, nothing. So they know the difference between right and wrong at an early age. They can take us and they can wrap us around their little finger. And I say it's a little finger, but what they wrap us around is they wrap us around the whole arm because they've got us. They've got our heart. And we know that. But the age of accountability is not 12 years old. The age of accountability is when that child knows there's difference between right and wrong. I remember Brother Roy Newton. He was preaching one Sunday. And he brought up this fact about the age of accountability. And he says, you know, what you need to remember in your head is that the child knows between right and wrong. And he said, I can explain it to you this way. He said, I can remember one time that me and my wife, Virginia, we went to Kmart. And we was in there just looking and shopping and everything. And he said, he got to notice there was a young little boy. He probably went over 4 or 5 years old. And he was walking behind his mama and daddy. And they got over there and going down the aisle and everything. And it was a, Brother Roy says, like a basket there. And it had little cars. He picked up one of them low, pretty colors of a car. And he went to mama. And he pulled on a coat. And she was looking at something else. And he just took it and put it in his pocket. Well, his mother didn't know anything about it. Till he got up out to the cash register. She says,
called his name and said, "You need to take and put that back. Because you did not ask me for it." And he says, "You know," and Brother Roy said, he said he was back in there probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 months later. And he happened to see the same little boy. And his mother and his daddy weren't there with them. And they was just going up and down the aisle. And he, that little boy, he was just a looking around. He was looking at everything that he could see. He wanted something. He was looking. He wanted to see what he could get. But he went away and he picked up something off the shelf. And he started down to where his mother was in the back, where the basket was. And he stopped dead in his track. He turned around, went back to where the shelf was, where he got the little toy off of. He put the toy back. Then he went on down there to where his mother was at. He knew between right and wrong then. He knew the difference between right and wrong. And I hate to even say that, but and say it this way, but you know something? We have to realize and we have to tell the people that they need to remember one thing. That God has blessed them to the point and give them the ability and know-how to raise that child. And give them instructions how to raise it. But yet, if they happen to come to church, and if your mama or daddy, and they hear a message, they hear something in the message that may be touching their heart, then they're going to leave church and they'll say, "Shit, I ain't going to be there no more. He's picking on me." Well, I'd rather for y'all to pick on me than the devil pick on me. Because he's going to pick on us. But I'd rather for y'all to pick on me than the devil. We need to let the parents know that when they're out of church and when they will not come to church, they're doing more harm, not to themselves, but to the child that they say they love. I may be hard, sometimes I may be hard-hearted, I don't know, but I can't get there. I can't get how you can say that little baby that's walking around, that little child that's walking around, that God has given each one of us the authority to be able. That we do not realize when we say it and we tell that child or that baby that we have, that we love them. But yet, we don't want to come and bring them to God's house. You know, I've even had people come to me and say, "Well, preacher, the reason I don't come, but if I come, you know, I'm going to have to bring my baby, and my baby's going to have to sit up in the congregation with me." I said, "Well." They said, "Well, no." I said, "If she gets to crying, or if he gets to crying, I mean, he's going to cry out loud and everything's going to interrupt your message." I said, "Well, not me.
Because the louder he cries is the louder that I can speak. So don't use that as an excuse, but that's what they do today. They got something else that they want to use. But Jesus right here,
is the teacher of all teachers. He has taught me so many things. He's taught me how to love people. He's taught me how I can forgive people, whether they've done anything to me or not. If I feel like that they don't want to come to church because of maybe it's something that I may have said or whatever, but if they just said something about me or whatever, and they say they can't come to church and face me because of something they may have said, I would rather go to them and to apologize and say, I'm sorry. Because what are they going to say then? If they was wrong, they may not say it out loud. They're going to be thinking about it as they leave the church. Well, I ain't done nothing to the preacher. Preacher ain't done nothing to me. I mean, you know. And the Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, well, you remember that time he was up there preaching it? And you thought he pointed you out? He didn't point you out. I pointed you out to him. And you got afraid. You got upset. You got mad. You left the church that day and you ain't been back since. So he hadn't done nothing to you. He just wants you to be as happy as he is. He wants you to have all the promises and all the joy that he has. I don't want to, I mean, if people don't want God's blessing, that's up to them. But I don't think that I can take them all. I'd rather for people to have the blessings of God on their life, because when God blesses the people, and always remember this, when you receive a blessing from God, you bless the Lord with it first. You may not know what it was. You may not know what you were doing at the time, but you brought a blessing to him. Why? Because he is worthy. He is worthy of all of our blessings. I'm not worthy of one thing. Matter of fact, I'm not even worthy to go to heaven. Matter of fact, I'm not even worthy to go and stand in front of him at the judgment. At the white throne judgment. I'm not even worthy to stand by him. I'm not even worthy to enter hell. Why? Because this is what I feel. But the only reason I can say I'm worthy is because of what he done at Calvary. Oh, me, what he done at Calvary. Can we remember what he done for us at Calvary? Can we? We need to. We need to. And all of that wraps around to one thing. To what I said first. The body. The body, this body of mine is supposed to be, is supposed to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. It's supposed to be the temple of the Lord. I'm not supposed to put anything in my body that will defy anywhere at all. But I do. I do. I shouldn't, but I do. But I am a temple that he has raised up. You know, the temple there where Solomon then, they built the temple. What happened to that temple? It crumbled. It crumbled. But if we are true temple of God, before we can get that far, so far back into sin that we're going to crumble, and God knows when we're going to do it, he will take us home. He will take us home. I know a whole lot of people where the Lord has took home at an early age. Because see, God promised us in his word 70. He's promised us that. But anything beyond that is a blessing. It's where he's seen some things that we may have done right. We had him in mind and we done it. You know, it's just so good to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, this year, in a couple weeks, we're going to be celebrating his birthday. The weather state, where the human side of it has designated this time of year since his birthday. I don't believe it was in December. I don't believe it was in the winter time. I believe it was in the any fall or the starting of summer. That's what I believe, but I would not argue with nobody about it. Because it's nothing to argue about. Because I don't know. I may be completely wrong. You may be completely wrong. We all might be completely wrong. And everything that we've said since the day that we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, and as we went out and said some things, and we thought about this and we thought about that, when all things are said and done, we'll never know the difference. I had somebody tell me one time, said, when I get to heaven, the only thing I want to do, I want to ask Paul, what was that thorn that he was speaking about? I said, I'm not.
I said, because right before I enter in, I believe I'm going to know. We're not going to have to ask questions like that. Because we ain't going to have to waste our time. Stuff like that. Because why? After the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to praise God. We're going to praise His wonderful name. And we're going to thank Him for everything He's done for us. He's been so good to me. He's been so good to my wife and my daughter as a family. I just wished I could be a little brother to Him. But you know, it takes faith. It takes faith. And it takes His love to teach us and what we must do. Father, we thank the Lord Jesus. Now, Father, Lord, I really don't know why that You wanted me to speak on the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh, Father. But Lord, I just pray, Father, that something will be said or done. And Father, that someone will get something from it tonight. And Lord, yes, Father, we need to go and we need to look it all up. We need to go into it deeper than where we have. Father, where we can be able to thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your grace. And Lord, I pray, Father, right now, that the invitation that's always being sung, Father, is anybody here that would just love to want to come to the altar and just thank You for something. Or they got somebody they want to pray for, Lord. Father, we pray, God, that You just press it upon the heart. And Lord, tonight, I know each one of these individuals. I've spoken to them. I've talked to them. But Lord, I don't know their heart. Only they do and You do. So Father, we ask, Lord, if it's anything on their heart that they have not cleared up with You, Father, we ask, Lord Jesus, that they'll come to the altar. And Father, they'll ask You to help them in the days to come. We love You and we thank You for what You're going to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen and amen.